Welcome back, everybody, to Menace Podmen, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I am Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre. We're at, what is this, I believe week 9 of the NBA season. And this is actually our last podcast here before the Christmas holiday.
Merry Christmas!
That's our freeze sound bites that we find, royalty free, so that's why it sounds so awesome.
Very fitting.
But yeah, I guess we'll, just take this time and just wanted to wish everybody listening, all our friends, family, all that stuff, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and I hope it's a good holiday for everybody.
Absolutely. And dude, we're closing in on our 1 year anniversary of Menace Podmen.
This is true. This is very true. I think we started this, this week, a year ago, I think, coming up here. So yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I think we did one trial episode right before the new year started, and then we ended up just posting it and publishing it, and haven't stopped since.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But a couple things off the top to mention. Since we have been doing it for a year, I mentioned last week I entered us into the Sports Podcast Awards, which is kind of actually really European that based awards, so American podcasts get it and everything too. Fortunately, we got snubbed. We did not make the short list this year, but not going to discourage us. Obviously, we'll take it in stride, and we're pretty young, right? We only got a year under our belt, so we'll keep going at it, putting in the work, and we're having fun. So hopefully, maybe next year, doesn't have to be from them, but maybe we get some recognition somewhere. But
better luck next year.
There's a bunch of other people that did get nominated, and all great podcasts and things like that. Unfortunately, though, two of those were the Draymond Green podcast and Old Man and the Three, which I don't think need any help with their publicity growing. So I was kind of pissed about that, but whatever. They can do.
Yeah, they're athletes and former athletes, and they have all the connections and they get all the interviews and stuff like that. We focus more on fantasy and betting, and we just kind of stick to ourselves, but we're doing the best we can. We're going to keep growing, and we've put some, interview requests out there. So hopefully maybe in the new year, we can get somebody on here, do an interview.
Agreed.
Some fun with that.
I was going to say one of the categories is also fantasy related, which was great. And almost all of the podcasts in there were fantasy football related. Obviously football, a bit popular than basketball here as far as fantasy is concerned, but who cares? fantasy basketball is where it's at.
But couldn't agree more.
There we go. As far as personal betting news, I just wanted to talk about last night's 12/19. That was Tuesday. Obviously, the TNT doubleheader. You get the no sweat FanDuel, no sweat parlay offer, which is pretty cool. Came so close. I missed it by two legs to turn 25 into about 450. And I was getting really excited. I thought it was going to happen. CJ McCollum, I had him for over 19.5 points. And God damn that guy. I don't know if you watched the end of that game, but
I saw the highlights.
Okay. He put up two threes at the end of that game that were the most horrific threes I've seen in a long time. One air ball and one just not even close, complete brick. If you want to call it even a brick, that might even be too respectful for the shot. He owned up to it, though, in the post-game press conferences. But between that and then Jason Tatum only scored 15 last night against the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco.
Jason Tatum.
I don't know. I know he tweaked his ankle a little bit there in the early going in the first quarter. Maybe that had something to do with it. But man's shooting a little too many threes for my liking. Hopefully he cuts that down. A bunch of pull-ups is kind of weird. Seems like he's been jacking up too much shots.
Yeah, I think Golden State was ready for those guys. They needed a big game. They've been struggling, and obviously the Draymond stuff, and we'll get more into that in a little bit. But, yeah, I think those guys needed a big game. Like you said, nationally televised, it's kind of their time to shine, and they took care of business.
Yeah, and not to just keep elaborating on that game, but Jonathan Kuminga looked great. I don't know if that was some – it might be a game we look at in the future as a somewhat coming out party. He played with purpose last night, and it was really
nice to see. Should be his coming out party, but you know, he struggles with the consistency, and, you know, we need to see if he can follow this up now and keep it going. But it's a good start.
Yep. And then obviously I'm going to keep going because Derek White's our one of our favorites. We talk about him all the time. Yes. Man, he was amazing. I think he was like 9. What is it? 7 for 16, 8 for 16. I don't know, something crazy. 50% from 3. I think he had like 30 points or so. I think he's the leading scorer in the entire game out of anybody. Probably paid out pretty well if you took him on the books. And then what was the last guy? Trayce Jackson-Davis. I just want to talk about him too.
He's been good.
He's been filling in and kind of providing like that Draymond role. So maybe this is a good thing for him with Draymond being out. Obviously, he was the second from last pick in the NBA draft last year. He has a chip on his shoulder since then. And you can see him, producing on the court with that energy, with that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, we said, you know, pretty much everybody in Golden State was going to have to step up collectively. And so far they have, you know, and it's going to be a mixed bag. You know, every game is going to be different, but these are all guys that you can use in fantasy, in DFS, betting, everything. But you're going to see it fluctuate from game to game.
Yep. And then actually, I guess I forgot to also say that CJ McCollum screwed me on 2 bets. He double fucked me. I also had him under 5.5 assists on like a 6 leg parlay, and that was the only leg I missed. So that pissed me off a lot too. So I tweeted out, if anybody saw it, that it was the first and the last time I will ever bet on CJ McCollum, and that is fact. Hold me to it. If I ever change my mind, tell me different. So. let's see. And then the last follow-up from last week, I had mentioned, you know, we were talking about the murderers, on the Menendez brothers on in the background of the Mark Jackson.
It's funny, but not funny.
Exactly. 1990, NBA hoops, card there and on court side in the Madison Square Garden. So I had said that I went on and I bought 5 packs off eBay from some dude in Ann Arbor, Michigan. $2 a pop. It's just so much fun to open these packs anyway. And unfortunately, I did not come up with a Mark Jackson card, but I did come up with a pretty good haul. And I'll just go real quick and spout these off. Came up with a Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, without the H at that point. A Glenn Rice rookie card, which is pretty sweet. Scottie Pippen, Dominique Wilkins, Tim Hardaway rookie card, and the Michael Jordan All-Star card. So pretty good haul out of just 5 packs.
Yeah, that's a hell of a collection. Nicely done.
Yeah, pretty excited. One day I might have to get some of these cards all together and get them graded or something and see if I actually have something worth of value. Obviously, they're worth of value just to me, but as far as maybe having some PSA 10 or something like that, that'd be pretty sweet. But anyways, that was enough of the random stuff, and let's hop into our first thing.
Name on your paper, first thing.
All right, so you said it best actually before we got on air here with the Christmas holiday and being in spirit, just giving back and things like that. I reposted a few videos. I think I got 3 of them. One I've been holding for a long time, and it was a Kevin Durant one from actually before Thanksgiving. But I've reposted all 3 of them, so you can see them. Just watch them. They're basically. I'm loving, you know, when the NBA athlete, any athlete, but since we're an NBA podcast, the NBA athletes kind of just give back to the kids. It's the best thing to see them just doing cool stuff. So there's a, I'm watching them all right now too. There's one. So the first one initially I was talking about was Kevin Durant, and this is in Phoenix, and there's a kid kind of right next to the mat where they'd be walking into the tunnel down the aisle. And the kid's trying to take a picture of Kevin Durant walking by, basically. And Kevin Durant sees that and he stops behind him, ends up grabbing his phone out of his hand to take the selfie. And then the reaction from the kid is the best after he grabs it, takes the photo.
I'm watching it too.
Yeah, he starts dancing and jumping side to side. It's it's pretty awesome.
It's a great video, and it's perfect for this time of year. I'm glad we saved it. And very fitting.
That worked out perfect.
Perfect and then for the holiday break.
Yeah, there's 2 more here. The one, so Wemby was, I did not play the other day in Milwaukee. But he was out there. He was, you can see him in his street clothes, and there's a kid behind him. And he also, same thing, you know, grabs his phone and takes a selfie with him behind him. So cool to see the young new players doing stuff like this too. Obviously he probably felt bad he couldn't play because about, you know, a lot of people were probably there to watch him.
Yeah.
So good move on his part. And then the last one, I just saw this one this morning as well. I don't know what time frame this is from, but it looks like, you know, everybody's kind of got coats on and stuff there in Milwaukee. So it must be chilly. So it must be somewhat recent. And there's a girl that walks up, and I think he's signing autographs. He's signing like an autograph on a jersey or something. And this girl hands him a folder of all these drawings she's done of him, I believe. You can't really see the drawings, but he comes out from behind the table, gives her a hug, and you can see her getting all emotional and crying and stuff. But it's those heartwarming things, but great moves by those players.
Yeah, Giannis, just classy. Really cool. You know, he's got the little notebook in his hand, and he's taking a picture with her too. Man, just really good stuff.
Yep. So yeah. Shout out to those guys and all the other players that do great things, especially for the kids. I mean, they're role models. It's awesome that they do one thing and the kid will remember it for the rest of their lives. So,
facts.
All right. So let's see. What else do I got here? This is all just random stuff. So I'm just going to spout off. Why not? DeMarcus Cousins signed a four-time NBA All-Star. DeMarcus Cousins signed a 10-day contract, I believe it is, with the Taiwan Beer Leopards. And I save this news story only for the reason of saying Taiwan Beer Leopards, because that is the awesomest team name I've probably heard in a long time.
Absolutely. But it is a good story. We talked before we got on here today too, that, you know, it's just another positive story for the holiday season. Seeing a guy like him continue his career. We didn't talk about this or mention it or anything, but also I saw a story on Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and I saw that one too, yep.
Yeah, so just, you know, good to see these guys continuing their careers outside of the NBA, but getting a chance to see other parts of the world and, you know, keep playing the game that they love.
Agreed. Let's see, what else? This doesn't flow too well today. I just got a bunch of random stuff, but
it's all good.
Regardless, where else did I want to go here? Oh, yeah, we had this. I don't think I reposted it yet, but I will repost this one now. Here we go. Athletes of the Year, Sporting News Athletes of the Year. Obviously, we know we're big WNBA and women's basketball fans. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were announced as the 2023 Sporting News Athletes of the Year. Very interesting image that they used. I don't know if I would have used that one, but it's basically a split, it looks like, you know, of each of their faces, and half a face is each of theirs. It's really awkward. I don't know what to say about it.
All it makes me think of is the Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson Scream video.
Yep. I agree. I was right there with you. I'm glad you said that.
As soon as I saw it, and every time I see it, I just immediately think of that.
It's black and white. It's everything. It's funny. It covers every Michael Jackson song you might want to, but yeah, it's...
I would do a Michael Jackson impression right now, but my voice cannot handle that.
I was going to say, I'm battling a little cold here right now too, so you probably don't want to hear me do mine either.
Mine's all coach voice.
But yeah, congrats to them. Well-deserved. Making huge impacts everywhere across the world and the country. So it's pretty cool.
Yep.
I want to give a shout out to Chet Holmgren as well. My preseason rookie of the year, and I'm sticking with it. I still think he's got it in him.
Did you place that bet at all?
I didn't, unfortunately.
Oh man,
it wasn't that big of a odds payout value pick. Yeah. It was just probably more controversial with the Wemby stuff out there. So
sure, nonetheless, you called it.
Yeah,
it's documented.
It's still neck and neck. But yeah, he's been playing great, and he's
been awesome.
His his personality is just fantastic too. I love him. I also have another video I found here too. He keeps bringing, every time he does a post game interview, he always brings some random person or just brings somebody else on with him. And the other day he brought out the Thunder director of security, Paul Huggins, into his interview. He's like, he keeps it safe. Gets us ready, and you know, we're able to come out and play because of him. Shout out to him, all this stuff. So I don't know, the guy, he just seems really cool. I would love to have him on my team. I'd love to have him on the podcast, let's put it that way. I'd love to have him be my friend. I just love Chet. I think he's great. I'm so glad he's been able to stay out there on the floor. I say that all the time. I'm just always scared because of the, obviously, the history there. But yeah, great to see him playing well and staying out there and having fun.
Yeah, and if you have him in fantasy, you're reaping the benefits because he's been amazing. He's currently sitting at number 12 right now across Nine Cat. He's playing 30 minutes a game. He's averaging 17 points a game, 8 boards, 2.5 assists, almost a steal, almost 3 blocks. Just awesome. 1.5 triples a game from your big man. We said, you know, as soon as he gets out on the court, he's going to show that, you know, he's a fantasy darling. He just has that skill set. And he's been so awesome. And like you said, he's been healthy, which is the biggest thing.
Yep. And then a guy you're probably not reaping the benefits of is Jordan Poole. guy, I don't know. I don't know where to go with them, but there was a fantastic highlight the other day where he flopped. This is in Phoenix. I can't remember the date there. I think it was 2 days ago. I think it might be Monday. I can't remember, Sunday or Monday. But he flopped to try and sell a call. So the floor got all sweaty. Then he goes, I think the next play he goes down and he slips. Like, I saw all these funny memes and stuff and the stuff people put on a Twitter, but it looks like he slips on a banana peel, literally, somebody said. And it does. That's what it looks like. So. Yeah. So after the flop, then he slips on his own sweat, throws up some crazy shot, and then this one person goes, "Karma's going to track you down." I was like, that's that's so well put. But he's not a guy I'd want on my fantasy team, but I guess he has. We keep saying he has potential. Everybody keeps saying that, right? Like, you know, hold on, maybe stash him, hold on to him. But obviously you can't trade him because I don't think anybody wants him.
He's a guy that's really valuable in like points leagues, and he's okay for DFS. But if you're playing in category leagues, he's not the greatest fit. No. Just not efficient.
Not at all. Not at all. Talking about a good fit, let's talk about Legos.
Perfect segue.
They fit together quite well. You mentioned this to me. I had seen it. It's gotten. I don't know where it came from, honestly. I don't know how it blew up. He was saying something, I think in like a post-game conference or a pre-game, I don't know. But he was saying something about how he relieved stress, I believe. Well, first of all, I should mention Miles Turner, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about Indiana Pacers. I love my Indiana Pacers, but he said last week, turning to an Indiana podcast, talked about Trayce Jackson-Davis at the beginning. Indiana product, Hoosier.
Yep.
So now going into Miles Turner, but yeah, I guess he's huge Lego fanatic. I don't remember all the sets of stuff, but he's got stuff. He's made a little Lego, I don't know what you would call it, like a portrait of a dunk he's done. He's got some, like, he's got millions of things that he's created already, some unique stuff. You can go ahead and check that out.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't know what we're talking about, stop everything you're doing. Go on right now. It's amazing.
But yeah, it just goes through. He's got all these Star Wars things. And he just says he's been, it was during the in-season tournament he mentioned something about it. And then it just kind of took off from there. I don't remember. There was a really good quote. I can't find it now. Damn, whatever. Check it out. You'll see it. It's awesome. But he was just talking about how it relieves stress and all that good stuff. Helps him unwind. As far as also helping unwind and building stuff, if you got kids, this is just a random thing. Home Depot where doers get stuff done. They I want to get some money for these Home Depot ads. But they actually have, like, once a month, the first Saturday of the month, they have these kids workshops. And you basically, it's free. You just bring your kid. And they're awesome. I bring my son all the time. And he loves them. He comes home, you know, do a little bit of painting over there and, you know, just put some quick stuff together. We're actually experts at it now. How many times we've gone? So we watch all the other parents get angry trying to put these things together, and it's like, nope, I'm a pro, I know how to do this. But
the one thing I'll say about them though is they get packed, so you have to, like, you know, go at a good time or be prepared to, like, you know, take it home with you or something. I know the holiday ones were super popular, so they were selling out really quick too. So but they're great, like you said.
But yeah, you can reserve. You're supposed to reserve stuff online. I know everybody doesn't do that. People just walk in and they hand them out.
They do, and they hand them out. They ignore the reservations and they hand them out to if you just show up. So
they do.
Be prepared for that.
And I can say I tried the ones with Lowe's and they suck. So screw Lowe's, Home Depot all the way. That's where it's at. But I guess that's a little off subject, but it's cool. It's fun stuff to do with kids. We were talking about the kids at the beginning. So yeah, go ahead, check those out. You know, also, as we talk about Legos, I got to say, I didn't know what Lego stood for, where it came from, the name Lego. So I had to do a little bit of research before we talked about this here on the podcast. Legos were actually invented, or I guess, invented in Denmark in 1949. And the guy who invented them, I can't remember his name now. I had written it down somewhere, but nonetheless, I believe it's a Danish word or something, or German word, Legotes or whatever. So it basically I believe it's German or something for play well is where it comes from. So that was the name of the guy's initial company when he first discovered it. So
interesting.
And now Lego makes about 36 billion bricks per year. So
good investment.
Yeah. I never got into Legos myself. Did you?
A little bit, but not really. I mean, I definitely didn't have any, like, the small ones. I just had, like, the regular size, you know. I used them every now and then, but not too into it.
Yeah. I know way back in the day, I think I had a set of Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. Same.
So yeah, I had that.
We were Lincoln Logs people for sure.
Yeah, Lincoln Logs. And then I stepped up to Connects for a little bit. I think that was a Christmas back in the day. But yeah, never the Legos. But they were so expensive, man. I remember that. Even right now, like my nieces and nephews, they wanted some Lego sets for Christmas, and I'm like, geez, like this little box was like $30 or something. But
speaking of name brands, I used to always say Lego my ego.
I thought about that too when I was every time I see Lego, I think of that. But anyways, let's see, what else did I want to get here before we hit a break? These game ball situations. I don't know what your thoughts on that. It was ridiculous. I was like, is this, like, made up? Are they doing this on purpose? I see Giannis running. He looked like Isaiah Stewart when he was trying to get LeBron that one day.
Yeah.
He's like running off the court trying to go get
Yeah, and the security guys, you could tell they were looking at each other like, what do we do?
No, it was nuts. But I don't get the fascination with the game ball stuff, like holding on to things. Like, I don't know. I guess maybe it made more sense. Like, they were talking about the first points for who the heck was that? Oscar Tshiebwe got his first official point, I think.
I think they were trying to save it
for him. But yeah, that whole story was really bizarre. And I don't know. I just feel like, especially if you're Giannis, how do you have like a room full of basketballs? Like, you're like, well, that's the one I scored a point.
I didn't like it for the Pacers though, because they said that when they did it, they were all kind of smirking too. Like they knew they were stealing it away from Giannis. Like they made an excuse, but they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were trying to take it away from Giannis. So, you know, and Giannis has kids and stuff. So I guess, you know, stuff that he can bring home and, you know, take home to his family and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm with you. I just think, you know, we have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
As a league.
I guess I personally never understood the game stuff. I guess if you're having like, if there's like a museum or a Hall of Fame or something, yeah, and they want to be like, oh, here it is and put it on display, that's whatever, yeah, cool. You know, the bat that somebody broke a home run record with or something like that. I guess I get that, but I still think it's kind of lame.
It's lame. And also like it, I agree with you. I think it makes more sense to save it for like Hall of Fame type stuff. So maybe like the league should just take the game ball and then they determine who gets it. You know, yeah. I maybe just come up with a better system, but yeah, I'm with you. I just don't think it's that, yeah, big of a deal anyway.
I think I just personally, I'm just a not very materialistic person. And maybe that's why I talked about Christmas and not loving Christmas that much myself. And maybe that's why, cause I don't really care about the gift part of it, but yeah, just the, I don't know, just having things is crazy. And I don't know. Like, how do you even prove stuff sometimes? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, here's the golf. Like, if I get a hole in one in golf and somebody goes, here's your golf ball that you got the hole in one with, would I keep? I don't care. Like, I can't prove that's only to me. That ball was the ball that I got the hole in one with. Nobody else is going to know that. Right. It's just going to be the, yeah, same golf ball. But
yeah, I mean, I get the value in saving those things, but I just don't think I would have reacted the way that he reacted. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go back here to the Kevin Durant and the first things we had. I forgot to mention too. I found when I was Google searching Durant and just stuff, he's been, you know, reach out to kids and taking photos and all that good stuff. I didn't know anything about this, but there was a story in 2014 about a kid in Detroit that had Kevin Durant shoes on, and then some kid stole them off his feet, basically. Obviously, it kind of sounds like the Pumped Up Kicks lyrics, but obviously there was no guns involved in this one. But yeah, apparently Durant got a wind of that story. And then when he was in Oklahoma City, and when the Thunder came to Detroit, he found this kid and he presented this kid with some autograph shoes. And I had never heard that story before, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's from like 9 years ago now. So,
and you know, we've both ripped KD for, you know, a lot of the smack talk that he does with fans, you know, on Twitter or whatever. But that there's a positive side to all this interaction with the fans, and it's stuff like that. You know, we don't ever want to like discourage athletes from, you know, having that dialogue with fans, because, you know, it leads to, you know, cool, positive stuff like this.
Yeah. I would say Kevin Durant also, as far as Twitter's concerned, he's not really like bashing people. I think he's usually just like setting people straight a little bit.
Yeah.
For their,
yeah, for sure,
crazy talk, or like, you know, my don't talk about, like, I didn't, that would be like me going on Twitter right now and telling CJ McCollum that, you know, he's some crap, blah, blah, yeah, blah, directly to his face. That's not what my tweet was, just saying, I'm not going to bet on him. I'm not, I kept,
yeah,
he's a basketball player. He's going to miss shots. I know that.
So. Yeah, and you're right. KD, he goes on there and more or less just kind of defends himself and stuff like, yep, that. Just kind of, you know, gets into it back and forth with fans about himself and about the game of basketball. I was just saying before that me personally, if I was an athlete, I'd stay off of that stuff. I would just, you know, ignore what other people are saying. But there is a – I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge that, yeah, you know, there is, sure, a positive side to interacting with fans on social media and in person. It leads to cool stuff like that. And especially, again, like we keep saying, you know, for the holiday season, it's just so fitting, and it's just great to see.
Very much so. Okay, two other things I wanted to hit before I hit the break. And I apologize. This is like a grab bag episode. I feel like I'm just throwing out random topics here, but it's kind of fun. It's random stuff.
You're reaching in the bag.
I am. I'm just
enjoying the season.
I'm just enjoying talking about stuff. It's fun to just sit here and talk basketball all the time. That's why we do it every week.
Yep.
But yeah, I saw this video of Keegan Murray. Obviously, he's been on a tear lately. He was one of the guys who was one of my targets earlier in the year. Yeah. I dropped him at some point in the year on one of my fantasy teams, and I regret that at this moment. But he had a down time before he got hot here over the last week. Anyways, there's also a video out there of Mike Brown. I love Mike Brown. He's one of my, there's good reason he was coach of the year last year, and he's just, He's just a good dude. You can tell. Yeah. I'd love to play for him. But he's telling the story about Malik Monk and Keegan Murray, you know, kind of laughing and talking to each other. And then Mike Brown kind of walks up and he's like, "What, you know, what you guys laughing about?" And Malik's like, "You know, Keegan says he can post up." And he's like, "No, he can't post up, right?" And then he kind of walks over to Keegan and he's like, you know, he's like, "Yeah, I can post up. Can you post up?" And he kind of gives him a smirk and he goes, "Go watch YouTube." And then he just kind of walks away. And Mike Brown telling the story sounds awesome. So then there's a clip after him telling the story on this. I'll repost this as well. And there's a post in, I can't remember what game it is, but basically Keegan Murray posts up in the next game they play, gets the and one, and he kind of just looks over at the bench with a little smirk, and Mike Brown's smiling, just smiling at him back and being like, okay, yeah, you know, you can post up. So it was a funny story. It's cool.
Yeah, and just watching the video, it's hilarious. Mike Brown, he's so animated. You can tell he's just so close with his players.
Yep.
Again, good to see.
Yep, great to see. All right, and lastly, here on the first half, obvious, not great news, but Eric Montross passed away from cancer. Let's see when this was. It was like earlier this week. I think it was 18th. We saw some of the notices on Twitter and across. Just people all over the place, just you know, outpouring love for him. They're, you know, everybody's all heartbroken here. It sucks when you see, people passing away at younger ages, obviously. But a good dude, a sweet NBA career, obviously played here in Detroit.
So yeah. Former Piston. Time.
So we're, you know, somewhat familiar with him. You had told me the story that you're the bastard child of Eric Montross, I believe.
Yeah, full disclosure, I'm a big white guy. So growing up, I was compared to every single big white guy in the NBA, including Eric Montross. But I am honored and privileged to be mentioned in the same breath as him. So,
yeah. No, I know he did a lot of, I don't know if he had a, he did a lot of like charity and you know, good stuff for the community out there. Like you said, I reposted the Jay Billis one, him reposting from North Carolina basketball. We also actually, we got other connections with him, watching him play in the Michigan area, because he was part of the North Carolina team that beat our Fab Five team.
Yeah.
In the 93 championship.
Yeah, I remember him and C-Web going at it.
Exactly. So it was a must-see. Must see basketball, but yeah, no, I remember watching him a lot. I guess Jay Billis says it the best here when I look at quotes, and he just says Eric Montross was the nicest, kindest person one could ever know. Great player, a champion, husband, father, friend, and a truly wonderful, beautiful soul. So rest in peace, Eric Montross. And yes, I agree with all that. And yeah, we'll leave it there. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform, supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips, with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money. All right, let's get into the second half of this podcast. I will just start off real quick with the schedule grid, talking about schedule stuff here real quick. We talked about the Phoenix Suns last week, this week having only two games. And we said, you know, that was probably a good reason to maybe keep Bradley Beal, just sit him on the IL maybe a little bit longer since he's only had two games. So that might have worked out, hopefully, if you did that. And he obviously is back on the IL now.
Yeah.
And then next week coming up here, though, Christmas week, Cleveland and the LA Clippers have two games in week 10. So just something to pay attention to going forward.
Yeah, everybody else is three or four games. Correct. But just those two teams only play twice.
Yep. But yeah, that's all I got as far as schedule. And I guess you got some news for us.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and start with Bradley Beal real quick, just since you mentioned it. Unfortunately, you know, he's been dealing with all the back issues all season. He just came back from that, and then right away sprained his right ankle. So he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. You know, we mentioned they're only playing twice this week. So it's just kind of more the same as it's been. You know, guys like Eric Gordon, Grayson Allen, they're perfect streamers right now in fantasy. And, you know, hopefully this ankle thing doesn't linger. And, you know, hopefully Beal can come back and stay back. But, you know, we said, you know, he's older now. He's always been injury prone. So he's going to be in and out probably, you know, the majority of the season, unfortunately. So, yeah, like you said, if you're in a league that has IL spots, IL plus spots, you know, utilize them and stay aggressive with streaming, and, you know, that's all you can really do. But the big news of the week that I definitely want to mention here right off the gate is Ja Morant came back last night, December 19th, made his return from his suspension and looked amazing. He played 35 minutes. He had 34 points, 8 assists, 6 boards, 2 steals, a block. He shot awesome, just picked right back up where he left off. And, you know, if he can behave himself, and hopefully he's taken this time to learn and grow, and, you know, he's saying all the right things. He looks great. And, you know, hopefully for Memphis, they can use this and go on a big run here and maybe make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah. No, he hit that game winner too there at the buzzer to win that game. Yeah, he looked phenomenal. Memphis is obviously a completely different team when he's in the lineup.
Completely different.
And like I said earlier, I think everybody probably feels the same. He makes JJJ better. He makes everybody around him better. And so now you got Morant, you got JJJ, you got Desmond Bane, three really good players. Memphis is then obviously back in the conversation. I'm sure they're at least a playing team in my mind.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens going forward. But it was kind of weird watching him go off and be like, I'm back. You know, I was like, yeah. I don't know if I'd play too much into that, but, you know, you were gone for a reason. So, whatever, good for him. Hopefully continues to be awesome. Ja Morant is great for basketball, and I'm glad to see him back. And like you said, hopefully he learned everything, and just stay off social media and don't put guns in your hands.
There you go. And, you know, what's nice is, they've got other guys who are working their way back to the lineup too. Marcus Smart, he's been out. He's been dealing with the sprained left foot, but he's back in practice and could play again tomorrow, December 21st. So getting him back in the lineup would really help them out, really kind of get them almost to full strength here. Another key guy for their rotation is Luke Kennard. He's been out. He's going to miss his 15th straight game. Or has missed 15 straight games with the bruised left knee. But he's a guy that I've been saying, you know, if they can get him back, he can really help, you know, space the floor. You know, he played really well down the stretch at the end of last season. So I think getting both of those guys back too is really going to help that team. So, you know, this is all really good, positive news. And like you said, they need this, you know, and they need it right now. If they're going to be able to make a push here, they got to start winning some games and go on a big streak. So, you know, hopefully they can do that.
Yeah, they're obviously sitting right now 6.5 games outside of the 10 spot for to get into that play-in tournament. So obviously they have a lot of room to make up, but I mean, could be done, but it might be tougher in the situation with the Western Conference.
Yep. And then another team that we've been talking a lot about is the Utah Jazz. You know, we talked about Lauri Markkanen. He was dealing with the strained left hamstring. And we said that he could return last week, and he did return December 13th. He's looked really good. There was one game that he sat out because it was a back-to-back. But other than that, he's played in every game, and he's looked like his normal self. So that's good news. Unfortunately, his teammate, Keontae George, he has not been playing. He's going to miss his fourth straight game with left foot soreness. He is practicing, but he remains day-to-day. So, you know, like we said, he's going to be out for a fourth straight game. Hopefully it doesn't expand too much after that. You know, he's a rookie. He's got a lot of upside. But for the time being in fantasy, it's just going to be more of just, you know, streaming all the other guards on their team. You know, they'd all just kind of keep taking turns, having big games. You know, Colin Sexton's looked good at times. Talen Horton Tucker's looked good at times. But it's going to be a roller coaster ride. You know, that whole entire backcourt, especially, you know, it's just going to be hit or miss. No pun intended.
Yeah. And then my guy, Walker Kessler, he's starting to pick up. He's our guy, Walker Kessler. I should say.
Yeah. And he's been back in the starting lineup, which is good. You know, hopefully they can develop some consistency there. And they're another team. If they're going to go on any kind of a run or anything, it's got to start right now. So, yeah. You know, hopefully George can come back. You know, we mentioned Jordan Clarkson's out right now as well. So if they can get those guys back, and we're starting to hear some trade rumors too. John Collins. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I'm sure they're going to make some kind of a trade between Collins and or Kelly Olynyk. You know, they need some more depth. They need another veteran guy or two.
Yeah. So. I've seen a lot of trade rumors with Lauri Markkanen in them. And you probably have some Cleveland notes too, but tons of trade rumors with Donovan Mitchell as well.
Yep. We'll get to Cleveland here in a little bit, but I want to give some more positive news on another team that could use it, the Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo.
He was out with the left hip contusion, but there he is.
Is that cutting off for you at the beginning too?
It is.
Man, that stinks.
Yeah. Anyways, he returned December 18th and looked great.
Bam Adebayo.
That's not cool.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of it. He looked amazing. He played 36 minutes. He had 22 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, a steal, a block. You know, pretty much looked like his normal self. And Tyler Hero also returned December 18th. He was out with the right ankle sprain, and he played big too. He had 33 minutes, 25 points, 2 steals, a 3-pointer, shot 10 of 18 from the field. So he looked really good. He looked like his normal self. And we'll get to the day-to-days here momentarily, but Jimmy Butler, you know, and get used to that. He's going to be in and out all season long, you know, one of the faces of load management. So to be able to get both of those guys back for Miami, Bam and Hero, that's huge.
One in, one out.
And, yeah, good for fantasy owners. Obviously, those two look great. Hopefully they can keep it going.
Yeah, like, and I was going to say, and then you got Jaime Jaquez, my boy, who can fill in that spot, hopefully, for Jimmy Butler when he's out.
Yep.
And that's, if he's not on somebody's team, he's great to stream in those situations. And
yep.
But yeah, I had to let him go earlier this year. But yeah, you're seeing all these rookies starting to fit into these really nice roles with these teams. Took a couple
they
of
are.
Months,
we talked all about it last week, especially for head-to-head leagues. It's really important. You just keep tabs on those guys. But also, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Duncan Robinson, yep. Former U of M player himself. Yeah, he's another one that's been good to stream. Kyle Lowry, he's been in and out of the lineup all season, and we said that's probably going to continue as well, you know, with him being older. So, yeah, I mean, definitely those other guys, you want to keep tabs on them. And, yeah, if anybody's
out, one out.
What's that? Sorry.
Technical difficulties. We're rolling through it, though. Yeah, you know, anytime that any of those guys are out, the Jaime Jaquez's and Duncan Robinson's, those guys are going to be perfect streamers. So just keep them in mind and keep tabs on them.
Yep.
You mentioned the Cleveland Cavaliers. Unfortunately, we don't have positive news on them. We've got some bad news here. Evan Mobley, we mentioned him last week. He was dealing with left knee soreness. turned out to be much more than soreness. He's having surgery on his left knee, so he is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So that really sucks. And then to make matters worse, their point guard, Darius Garland, he has a fractured jaw. He's going to miss several weeks. So, you know, we'll get to ads here in a little bit, but obviously you're going to prioritize anybody in Cleveland, you know, guys like Caris LeVert, Isaac Okoro. They're streamers at minimum, but they're probably holds until we get more clarity on these guys coming back because, you know, they're just running out of bodies. I saw a report today that Donovan Mitchell for their shoot around today, December 20th, he wasn't at shoot around. So I don't know what that means. But if there are any Cavaliers out there, you know, especially if you're doing DFS or if you're in a season long league and you've got open spots on your roster and you're streaming, you definitely want to prioritize Cleveland Cavaliers right now because they're going to need those guys.
I.e. Caris LeVert.
Former Michigan guy.
I was going to say go blue.
Yeah.
I was going to say too, this is a random stat though. I'm just going to pull this out there. So, if Donovan Mitchell does play, obviously if we don't know the situation there, but this is 3 games ago now. So there's not many games that Evan Mobley and Darius Garland are not playing and Donovan Mitchell has played. So 3 games ago that situation happened, was last January. What was that? January the 5th or something like that? January 3rd. I don't know. It was the beginning of January this year. Yeah, this year, because it followed into 2023. That was when Donovan Mitchell had a 71-point game. So that was one of the, like I said, last time this type of situation presented itself, Donovan Mitchell took over as far as points are concerned and scored. So,
yep. And then just some more news here. Mark Williams, he's another guy that we mentioned day-to-day last week. He's been dealing with a low back contusion. He's expected to miss his 6th straight game. So again, you know, we'll talk about ads, but Nick Richards has stepped in his spot.
Yes, he has.
And he's played pretty well. You know, I consider him more of like a streamer. You know, I do consider Williams to be day to day. It doesn't sound like he's going to miss too much more time. So just kind of keep an eye on that situation. We've been talking about the Blazers a lot. DeAndre Ayton, we mentioned him. He was dealing with the right knee soreness. But he returned on December 14th. He's looked really good. We also mentioned Jeremy Grant. He was out with concussion, but he returned December 16th. And both of those guys, they've gotten right back into the starting lineup. They're playing big minutes. They're looking pretty solid. We talked all about the Draymond Green situation last week. He is suspended. But some good news on that, he has started counseling. It does sound like he's going to miss at least 3 weeks or so. You know, but we really don't know.
Not enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's indefinite. So, you know, we'll see if the counseling helps. It sounds like it's been very positive, you know, at least amongst he and his teammates. They're still letting him practice, so that's good. He's not completely banished from the team. But, yeah, like we talked about last week, you and I just kind of, you know, we're tired of it, you know, and we don't want to see his legacy get tarnished. You know, to the point where we look back on him and we think about this instead of thinking about all the good things that he's done in this league and all the championships and all the leadership. So, you know,
I was going to say there was a podcast that I think it was Udonis Haslam was on just recently, and he was talking about Draymond and he had some stuff to say, you know, kind of the same stuff as us, like, you know, he respects him and all that good stuff. And, you know, hopes he gets better, but he was talking about how he thought he was picking on guys more that were not going to retaliate. And I had never thought of that in that way.
Yeah.
And he's very right on with that. Cause I had talked about last week how they were, you know, people were talking about him picking on European players and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not always the case. But it seems like a lot of people, he put that together, and yeah, a lot of the people are like the Jordan Pools and the Nurkic's and the Sabonis's that kind of just like walk away or back off. So I don't know if there's any part into that, but then he also went on talking about, you know, what if he, you know, just popped Tyler Hero, popped him, just popped. And he goes, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. He said he would, quote, you know, take a long walk off a short pier if he had done that. So I love UD.
No, that's an excellent point. That's a great point. But also someone else who made a really good point about Draymond is Isaiah Thomas. And he made the comparison that we did to Dennis Rodman. And, yeah. you know, Isaiah said at least the league has stepped in and is doing what they can to get Draymond the help that he needs. Whereas a guy like Dennis Rodman never got that help. He never got that from the league. And so hopefully we'll see the difference in how this is being handled. So, yeah, just like I was saying, here's to hoping that he can, you know, start off, you know, the year 2024 on a much better note. And, you know, hopefully it's all positive from here on out, but he's got to work and get himself back.
This is unrelated, but I'm just noticing as we record this on our videos, obviously we can see our face. And right now I'm in my microphone and I can see half my face. And right now it's reminding me of the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark cover. So I think before we sign off, after we're done recording this, I need you to lower your face right at the half. So I'm going to take a screenshot. And I'm
That's a great idea.
I'm going to create our own.
Sounds great.
All right.
Some good news for the Orlando Magic. Wendell Carter Jr., he's been out with the fractured left hand, but he is returning tonight, December 20th. He has not played since November 2nd, so pretty much the whole season. So that's good news for them. Markelle Fultz, he's been out with left knee tendonitis. He's returned to practice, but he's not yet ready to return to games. So he's still being listed as out indefinitely. But hopefully he's more day-to-day at this point, kind of working his way back. So hopefully we'll see him pretty soon.
One in, one out.
Yeah. But in the meantime.
One in, one out. One in, one out. One in, one out.
Well, the loop's working. But in any case, Bradley Beal, you know, we mentioned him already. He's, you know, got the sprained right ankle. You know, he'll be reevaluated in a couple weeks. So like we said before, they're not playing much this week. And just kind of look at guys like Eric Gordon and Grayson Allen, you know, kind of for like streaming purposes.
Yeah, Grayson Allen's a man. Love that guy.
Let's go ahead and
not
get to
many
the day-to-day.
People do, but I do. I actually like him.
I mean he's a great fit for that team. We talked about it, you know, and they went out and targeted him for a reason. So he's been a good fit.
I don't know why people don't like him, other than he went to Duke, right? But
went to Duke and he has some of the behavior stuff, but it's all on court stuff and it's stuff that he's doing to help his team. So, you know, but we just got done talking about Draymond too. There's good and bad things about doing that. And
he's like a Pat Bev that doesn't talk.
That's true. And it, you know, it all comes down to winning too. You know, yeah. I think that's what makes this Draymond situation so big is because, you know, he has been a huge part of their championship run and these other guys are trying to get to that level. And so they're doing the things that they need to do to not only stay in the league and maintain their career, but again, like try to win, you know, try to compete, try to contend for a title. Anyways, we'll get to the day-to-day list here. It's kind of short, not too many names, and hopefully these are just kind of day-to-day, nothing long-term. We've got Paul George, Victor Wembanyama, Kristaps Porzingis, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Jimmy Butler, Miles Turner, Derek Lively II, and Shaedon Sharpe. They're all day-to-day right now. We'll have to see what happens, but we'll keep you posted on all of them. And then just a few transactions to get to. Our Pacers, they re-signed James Johnson for the rest of the season. And, you know, we just got done talking about Draymond possibly targeting guys that he knows won't retaliate. I bet you anything, he's never going to go after James Johnson.
No, man, no.
And if he does, I want to see that.
I don't have a sound drop for that, but yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say one guy too, day to day, this is probably new as of yesterday, is Brandon Pajemski. He did something to his back, I believe, during that game last night against Boston, and he came out of the lineup. I'm not sure what happened there, but he's probably a good guy to take note because he was a guy that was, you know, people were, I mean, I had picked him up for a point and you were,
yeah, that's a good
if
point.
Not streaming him or something like that. So he's I don't know, somebody just obviously to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. We've been talking all about it. You know, with Draymond out, it's just going to be opportunities for all these other guys to step up, you know, Kuminga, Moody, I mean, all of them. So, yeah, if anybody else misses time, it's just more touches and more opportunities for the rest of them. So that's an excellent point. Juan Toscano-Anderson is back in the NBA. He signed with the Sacramento Kings for the rest of the season. And then the only other transaction that I have is a guy that we talked about for Summer League, Kenneth Lofton Jr. Unfortunately, he was waived by the Grizzlies, you know, to make room for John Morant coming back. And he's a guy that I think could catch on somewhere. You know, he's looked good the last couple of years in Summer League, hasn't had a lot of opportunities, you know, when the games matter. But, you know, here's to hoping that he can catch on somewhere and, you know, maybe get some minutes and keep his career going.
Yep.
And then
Viva la Mexico.
Yeah. Exactly.
Feliz Navidad.
Well said.
I was gonna say, as far as pickups and drops and things like that, I don't think there really is that many that people probably haven't already. But there's, you know, people get injuries and day to day stuff. You're just filling in replacements as streamers.
Yeah, we mentioned the Cavaliers. I would say prioritize them for sure. You know, we mentioned Caris LeVert. We mentioned Isaac Okoro. One guy that I absolutely want to mention right now is my boy, Tari Eason.
I would touch you right now if I could through the mic.
I want to fuck. This guy is absolutely en fuego. I want to fuck. He is en fuego right now. Just absolutely on fire. The minutes are there. He's playing over 30 minutes a game the last few. He's been amazing. He's hot right now. Pick him up. Don't think twice about it. As long as he's getting these minutes and these opportunities, he's a must own in fantasy. I don't care what kind of league you're in. I don't care how many categories you're dealing with. This guy's a stud. And I do love him. And I was really happy to pick him up just in the nick of time. So very excited about him. Hopefully we can keep this fire going.
So you're giving some love to some guys. I'm going to give, Tari Eason here, and rightfully so. And I'm going to give a love to two guys real quick here too, while we're at it. Obviously we talked about picking up, Isaiah Hartenstein as Mitch Robb went out.
Yes.
And the man has been fantastic. Even though he's still coming off the bench technically, but he's playing starters minutes. If we just go through, I'm going to go last two games just because that's kind of I think it might have started the 15th when I can't remember when Mitch Rapp got injured, but whatever, regardless.
It was last week. We talked all about it.
Yeah. So the last two games were Saturday, 12-16 at the Clippers. Man played 30 minutes, 5 for 7 from the field. So obviously, you know, not a huge volume, but great percentage. 2 for 4 free throw line, but he had 12 points, 10 boards, 2 assists, and 3 blocks.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then just the other day, Monday, 12-18 at LA against the Lakers. So back-to-back LA teams, they just stayed in the same spot. 39 minutes, 3 for 4, so 75%. 9 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. And even the game before those two, he had 3 blocks. So the guy's putting up at least 2 blocks a game. He's fantastic.
Minutes are there. I love it. This is what we need to see from him. So anybody who picked him up right now, you're counting your blessings. And, you know, hopefully it continues. And we said, you know, this could be a blessing in disguise for the Knicks. They needed to get a little bit more help.
Yep.
Just – they're going to need these guys down the stretch if they want to make a run in the playoffs. So this is huge.
And then the other guy, very similar, that I also picked up myself is Zubox. And he's been a complete monster lately. Again, if you just go last two games, 13-11, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. And then the last game against the Pacers on Monday, 16 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks. So putting up basically between, I have these guys, Zubox and Hartenstein, on one team together, and they're giving me, you know, 30 rebounds and 30 points and 6 blocks a game. That's fantastic.
I think we just have to acknowledge the Clippers as a whole. They're just completely amazing right now. And we talked all about James Harden. He's been a perfect fit. You know, absolutely. We kind of criticized the move of putting him in the starting lineup and taking Westbrook out. But right now, Ty Lue's looking like an absolute genius. It's just, it's been a hand and glove fit. The guys are all talking about it. You know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they seem very excited to play with Harden. And obviously, it's translated to wins.
Yeah, they've been amazing. It took like four games to get it set. And then, but I've also heard a lot of people say, you know, this all changed once Harden went to the starting lineup. But I think that you got to also look at it the other way, where this all changed once Westbrook went to the bench. So it was,
yeah. And
complete awesome.
And
awesome
they're move. Playing like Kawhi Leonard. Has he even missed a game this season?
No,
like
he's I don't been, think so.
Yeah. For as much as he gets dogged, you know, from even us too. Yeah, these guys are playing. They're playing well. They're looking really good. So
they seemed like he seemed like he wanted to prove it. I mean, he talked about that before the year when they put that stipulation in that, you know, players had to play so many games and whatnot. And I remember him talking about it, saying, you know, like I feel like they put this rule in place because of me type thing. And he didn't want that to be the case. And he's like, I got to go out. He's like, I'm gonna play every game if I can.
And good for him. That's how that's what the mentality should be. So that's awesome. Hopefully more guys kind of follow that lead.
I think another stat we'd have to look at too is what their record is once Terrence Mann came back and into the starting lineup. And
that's an excellent point. I don't think they've lost a game.
I don't think so either. He's been great and just fitting in that spot. He's like almost like how I feel like New York wants wanted Quentin Grimes to be like, and it just like didn't kind of work out. But
that's
like
a good call.
Man's able to have, you know, less touches, less production, while still being so effective in that starting lineup. It's
having that impact.
It's funny. I go back to last year, and I'm like, last year at the beginning of the year, I picked the Clippers I picked them to go to the finals, not really win it. And then there was that point in the year where I picked the Timberwolves to beat, you know, the Nuggets in the first round and upset them. And right now I feel like, you know, all these things where you're always a year ahead. I feel pretty good about like how I felt a year ago.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right. Two other guys I just wanted to shout out here. Isaiah Jackson for the Pacers. Yeah. He's been filling in for Miles Turner. He's played really well, even with Turner in the lineup. So if Turner's out, I think Isaiah Jackson is a must add, must stream, must use in DFS. And, you know, we mentioned Nick Richards earlier. I think right now, you know, with Mark Williams being out, I think Richards is a guy that you can use. You know, I kind of view Richards as more of a streamer because, you know, the Hornets have a lot of bodies in their front court. You know, they do tend to go with smaller lineups at times. So, you know, I don't think Richards is like a must add or must use in DFS, but he's a guy that you can use, especially if you need some extra big man stats, if you need some extra boards, you know, if you need some better percentages from the field and whatnot. You know, I think he's a guy.
Or if they're playing in Canada and, you know, Bridges can't get over there.
Yeah, exactly. And then the only guy I wanted to mention as a drop right now is Herb Jones. And we kind of called this, you know, we said once the Pelicans got 100% healthy, he was a guy that, you know, could probably stick in the starting lineup, but would probably see a more reduced role. And that's pretty much exactly what's happened. So, you know, I think it's probably safe to move on from Herb Jones. Just keep in mind that a lot of those guys are injury prone and, you know, he is still in the lineup. You know, he's still going to start. He still plays a big role for that team and he will continue to see minutes and he'll have decent usage if any of those other guys miss time.
Well, I think that might do it. Obviously, this is going to be like half of the clip.
That's all I got, my brother.
Oh, that one actually worked, I think. There we go. And then we got to move on. But I had a thing. So I remember Thanksgiving, I had all those players' names that were Thanksgiving related. And that was pretty corny. So I decided not to do it again. But I had a bunch of Christmas names that were very related, obviously, NBA players related to Christmas. So I'm not even going to do anything with him. I'm just going to tell you. So we got Drew Holiday, obviously. Jaden Ivey, right? I think Ivey works for Christmas.
Yeah.
I would assume. Darius Garland. put the garland on the tree, right? Kyrie Irving, Irving Berlin, right?
Nice.
And we got Isaiah Stewart, Jimmy Stewart. It's a Wonderful Life. And then the last one was, well, actually, I had Harden on there because if your heart hardens, you become a Grinch. And I'm going blank right now. What's his name? Noel. He just got picked up, went to Kansas State. I can't remember his first name now. But
well, a lot of former players, Nerlens Noel.
Oh, that one worked too.
Dante Christmas, you know.
Of course.
You know, people have done that in the past too. But yeah, shout out to those guys.
And obviously, this one works for Christmas and New Year's, but you know, you can pop some
champagne.
So that one works for any holiday you want.
Yeah. But, and of course, all the colors, you know, green, red.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are, should be implied, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But anyways.
Time to go, Maryland.
Yep. So that one cut it off. Here we go.
Time to go, Maryland.
There we go. We'll do it that way. Anyways, so we thank everybody, of course, for listening to Menace Podman every week. We've enjoyed it over this past year. Yeah, I mean, again, just Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. If you don't follow us on Spotify or iTunes or you haven't given us a rating, please do that. We very much would appreciate it. And you got anything to say to us? Go ahead. You know where we live. Say it to our face and or find us on Twitter at Menace Podman. But until next week, we will talk to you then.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Scott. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So, if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
Menace Podman.